campuses. Come on, Faith Church, you can do better than that. Weldon, Ferguson, Sunset, Earth City, RPC, the moon. I don't know where you're at. Happy Memorial Day. You can be seated. If you were already seated, shame on you for not standing up for the people who sang their butts off this morning. Again, give it up for all the singers at every campus and the Dream Tamers. You know, this smoke and fog doesn't just happen. These LEDs just don't appear. There's a lot of people behind the scenes at our Dream Team that make it happen each and every week, day in and day out. And then there's a lot of lives that are changed as a result of it. And before I get to preaching, first of all, I'm so glad to be back. I missed you guys, man. I've been gone for 2 weeks and been to some great churches and priests in Baltimore last weekend, and it was great. It was awesome, but it wasn't you guys. I mean, I was like, man, it's a great church. It's super good, but it's good to be back. You know, our church is so cool. It's just diverse. I say it's diverse, but today there wasn't one white person on stage. I was like, you know, I'm the only white pastor who goes, could we get one token white guy? Come on, somebody, on stage, just one. Go with me on that right now. It's just, I don't know why it is that I draw so many black people, but I guess it's the way I preach. Come on, somebody. Yeah, Lord Jesus. I don't know. This is what it is, but I like it. Look at your neighbor and say, I like it. I like some sauce on it, you know, it's fun. This weekend's really good. As I walked in here, you know, it's amazing. Sometimes you don't realize how much the church is doing for you until you go through an attack. And today, Nicole's on the front row, and she was all crying. And first of all, she didn't have any duties today, so she said, okay, get this. We have a 2-year-old grandson who's in the nursery, and she felt led today to serve in the nursery. Go figure. She's gone now. But through worship, she was crying. I said, what's going on? You know, she said, oh, I looked, and there was Jill McDowell, and she had a brain tumor, and God healed her, and she's back. And then there was Cynthia next to her, and the devil tried to kill her, and she's back. And I was like, wow, it really is amazing how when the devil tries to come, and he does, and sometimes we don't realize when he's going to come, but when you go to Faith Church, you're full of the Word, and you're like, no, devil, no, not today. Somebody ought to shout amen. Oh, when long life he'll satisfy me and show me his salvation. Some people have heard, jump, baby, Dave, jump. You got to act like things are. I feel like having church already. I don't know. It's going to be wild today. If you're at the lake on your boat watching us on the app, thank you for watching. And may God give you a horrible sunburn for missing church. Actually, this weekend, I had a sermon all planned. In fact, we actually literally have the sermon on ice. For real, because it was like this huge ice block, and there's a fake heart in the middle, and I'm talking about how you ice out your heart and forgiveness, and it was amazing. Then yesterday, after I studied all week, and there's a lot of creative processes that go into what we do, meet with the team on Monday and Tuesday, and then they build it all out. And then yesterday, God spoke to me and said, get comfortable while you wait. And I thought, well, that's nice, and I did Instagram about it, and it helped a lot of people. Then, through a series of things, God made it very clear to me I was supposed to hold that sermon and preach this sermon today to you. So this isn't something I worked on. This is off the cuff, prophetic from the Lord. In fact, it reminds me of, what's the donut shop that has the hot sign on? What's that called? Krispy Kreme? So it's like, this is the hot signs on. Everybody shout the hot signs on this. So my question is, have you ever prayed for something, prayed the prayer of faith, but then you're in a waiting stage? You're wondering when God, when, why God, why, how God, how much longer is it going to be? And if you're like me, you like it now. Anybody at any campus like it now, right? We serve a crockpot God. He likes to stew on it. And I'm like, minute rice takes too long. If I'm driving through a drive-thru, I want to call it in on the app, open up my moonroof, and chuck it at me as I'm driving by. Anybody else know what I'm talking about today? But sometimes we're waiting. In fact, even in Zoom meetings, I hate that when you come in and I'm like, okay, I'm here for this meeting, and then all of a sudden it says, hey, wait, we're waiting for the host to let you in. It's like, well, what are they doing? I'll text people, what's going on right now? You know, it's been 60 seconds and you haven't let me in. But we have to learn to wait. The Bible said, don't grow weary in well-doing. You will reap if you faint not. But the problem is oftentimes we cave in, give up, and quit because it's not quick enough. I feel like I'm the only one up here today. But I hear the saint patron Michael singing, I am not alone. You are here with me. Waiting. Sometimes you can wait, though. I was at a few years ago, I was in Corpus Christi, Texas, had to go to Houston, and I had a layover, and it was like a three-hour layover. How in the world you could miss a flight after being laid over for 3 hours? I don't know, but I managed to pull this off. I was at B-15, and that's where they said it was supposed to be, and it said it on my trip that it was supposed to be there. I just kept on down that path, and then come to find out that it had been so long that they had moved the gate. But because I wasn't listening, I was at the wrong place and I missed my flight. Could it be that sometimes that we aren't listening to what God is saying for us, and so therefore we miss the opportunity, and we thought it was going to be over here, but actually somebody ought to shout amen in Earth City today, it's going to be over there. Nicole was telling me when I was talking yesterday, you know, that God told me to change this. She said, you know, I was in the waiting room recently at the doctor's office and I missed my appointment. She said, I was so busy doing all the stuff that I was doing, I missed my appointment. If you want to know why she was there, Nicole is actually, she doesn't look as young as she is. This is Botox. This is injections. This is needles. There's a lot of pain to look that good. Can I get an amen? But you see right before you today is natural, and that's why they asked me, is that your daughter? Come on, somebody. But she spent a lot of money. Wait. Look at your neighbor and tell them, say, I'm sorry about your weight. Luke 8, let's go there. Luke 8, verse 22. One day Jesus said to his disciples, let's go over to the other side of the lake. So they got in the boat and they set out. And as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a huge storm of epic proportions came upon the lake. And the boat began being swamped. This is a honking storm. And they were in great danger. The disciples woke him up saying, Master, Master, we're going to drown. Then he got up and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters, and the storm subsided and it was calm. And then he looked at them and he said, let's all shout it together. Come on, Sunset. What does it say? Where is your faith? Come on, every campus. What's it say?
Where is your faith?
One more time. Hit me again at Ferguson.
Where is your faith?
He asked disciples, where is his faith? And I don't think God said like, hey, where's your faith? Oh, you have little faith, you little losers. I just think he asked the question like, where's your faith? Like I told you, we were going to the other side. It doesn't mean going to the other side that there won't be obstacles, there won't be trouble, there won't be setbacks. It just means, and faith people, sometimes they've painted this picture over the years like, oh, you faith people, you name it, claim it, call it and haul it, blab it and gab it, people. You don't believe you're ever going through stuff. No, we believe we're going through. We just believe that we're going through. We might be in the middle of hell, but when you're going through hell, you don't stop. Come on, somebody. You keep on walk by faith and not by sight. So with fear and amazement, they ask one another, who is this person who commands the winds to obey him? Who is this person? See, it's imperative to know, first of all, where you are. You know, at the mall, if you go to the mall, anybody ever been to the mall? I want to be buried at the mall so my wife and kids come and see me when I die. And at the mall, there's a big sign and a red dot that said, you are here between the Apple Store, Cinnabon. Let's thank God for Cinnabon. God, we thank you right now for Cinnabon, Lord. I can smell it right now. Come on, somebody. Arrah! He says, you're here, and if you want to go over there, at least you know where you are. But see, I propose to you that sometimes in faith, sometimes we don't know where we're at. And it's important to know where you're at as far as in your faith journey. Now, there are people, I look around the room today, and I see people, there's one guy here on the second row that his biceps are pretty amazing. I look at those biceps and think, man, those biceps look like my leg. This joker has lifted some weights. So he can lift more than I can in the natural. So what happens is many times in our life, we think that we can ask God, and we can for anything, and he can miraculously give us anything, but our faith needs to grow. That's what Jesus was asking. He says, where's your faith? Like, where's your faith level? So if you're like believing God, God, I thank you, Lord. I'm going to live in $1 million house. I'm going to drive a Bentley or a BMW. It stands for bring money with you. God, I believe it's about to come to me right now. I'm believing for supernatural death cancellation. Yes, I am. But you ain't never believed God for a tic-tac. Come on, help me right now. You got to grow. That's why the Bible said faith, come on, every campus, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the more faith you hear, the more faith you know. And the more faith you know, the more you trust in, not your ability to believe God, but God's ability to do it. But you know, if he did this, I know he can do that. Am I helping anybody beside myself today? So here, basically, you could write this down. The word will work for anybody that'll work it. The word will work for anybody that'll work it. The Bible said this. He said that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So today you're seeking him. The enemy will try to tell you, well, you're not seeking him hard enough. The fact is, it's Memorial Day weekend, Sunday morning, Sunset Hills, and there you sit. People from Union, Missouri, Washington, Missouri, people driving from all over in Earth City and Ferguson and Well, people driving 45, 50 minutes because they believe a church alive is worth the drive. Why do you come on a Sunday morning? Because the world is screaming at you, eggs are super high, gas is super high, and if you're not full of faith, you'll begin to walk down the path where they're at, and that's the path where sinners go. But when you walk in the path of righteousness, you say it's growing brighter and brighter as the noonday, and I walk by faith, come on somebody, and not by sight. So that's why we all crazy. Look at your neighbor and say, you're just as crazy as I am. I can tell. Look back at him and say, you need a TikTok, a breath mint. You need something. Your breath smells funky. By the way, it's hot in this church today. It's hot in here today. It's getting hot in here. It's 110 degrees in Florida. It's so hot. If Nelly was here from St. Louis, he'd definitely say it's getting hot in here, so take off all my clothes. Y'all don't know anything about Nelly, but in St. Louis we do. Come on, can I get it? In the 314. Whoop, whoop. The 561 don't know how it's done. All they know is dun, 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 dun. Ice, ice, baby. All right, I know how you are. I know how you are. James 5:15. And the prayer of unbelief. You got it. I'm tricking you guys. You got to read along with me. The prayer of you never know what God's going to do. I mean, been unworthy. He doesn't love me. If you know what a sinner I was. No. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise them up. So what kind of prayer do you pray? You pray the prayer of faith. See, a lot of people pray like, you never know what God's going to do. My daughter there in St. Louis today, what if she said, you know, I told her, hey, Ashton, yeah, I'm going to take you to Disney World. I'm going to buy you whatever you want. Then after that, we're going to go to Zara and buy you whatever you want. And then after that, we're going to go to, I don't even know where else, Nordstrom's, and we're going to buy you. I can tell you right now, she's going, shut up, Akasa. But if I told her that and I meant that, this is purely supposition right now. But should I mean that, she would not doubt her father, because she knows her father has the ability to do that. She knows her father has the capability of doing that. And she's seen me do all kinds of cool things. So she's not like, you know, my dad's undependable. You never know what he's going to do. You just never know. Sometimes he's in our lives. Sometimes he's not. There's been 6-8 months. I haven't even seen my dad. No. She sees me and she knows me. Here's the good news. You might not have a good earthly father, but you have a good heavenly father who knows what you need. Somebody ought to shout amen. And he said, if you pray the prayer of faith, the Lord will save the sick, and he'll raise them up. He'll raise you up out of poverty. He'll raise you up out of depression. He'll raise you up out of lack. Somebody ought to give him praise today. He's about to raise you up. Come on, give him praise. Now, here's the issue, though. The prayer of faith is what does that, not the prayer of doubt and unbelief. Matthew 14, verse 26. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, and they said, it's a ghost. I mean, it would be kind of scary, honestly, if you're out at night on a lake and you see somebody walking in the fog on the lake. How many of y'all think it would freak you out? Raise your hand. You liar. Try it again. Raise your hand. You're like, duh, I saw a ghost. Anybody ever been alone in a house, or God forbid, even worse, at a church at nighttime alone? And you're like, ah! I still feel like we're not communicating. Anybody ever been in the basement and you ran up the stairs because an invisible monster was after you, and then you shut the door once you were in the kitchen? Who am I talking to right now? And then the door stopped the invisible monster. That's what's going on right here. But verse 27 says, but instantly he spoke to them saying, take courage, I am. Stop being afraid. Stop being afraid. I want the emphasis to be on stop being afraid. One more time, class. What is it? All the way in the back at our city, back by the bathrooms. What are you saying?
Stop being afraid.
It's a decision that you have to make to say, I'm stopping being afraid. Here's what's not going to happen. Now, as you get older, anybody over 40, raise your hand if you're over 40. I think around 45, and for sure when I hit 50, you know, I waited forever to get 18, waited forever to get 21, to get, you know, I can rent a car now, it's official, and then I just flip and hit 50, okay? And when I hit 50, there came something over me to where I got a big case of, here's what's not going to happen. Okay, because I only know how many Christmas, I don't know how many Christmases I got left, but we kind of do the math on this bad boy, and it's certainly not, I've eaten up more Christmases than I got probably. Some of y'all look like, oh yeah, man, you're like 2 years away. Shut up. Okay. But the fact is, you get to where you don't, you're like, hey, you came too late to punk me. Here's what's not, even with cops, like a cop jacks with me and I go, here's what's not going to happen, okay? I know my rights, here's what's not going to happen. So you have to realize with the devil, he'll try to punk you and you got to say, here's what's not going to happen. I am not going to be conformed to this world. I'm not going to be depressed anymore and I'm going to stop being afraid. Why? Because the Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I fear? No weapon formed against me will prosper. I know I'm in a waiting season, but I'm waiting in faith, believing I receive when I pray. In fact, Mr. Devil, I don't have to get it. Jesus already got it for me. Somebody ought to get a hold of this right now with your faith. Stop being afraid. Shout it. Stop being afraid. Shout it again. What?
Stop being afraid.
Stop it.
Stop it.
Anybody ever told your kids, stop it? Anybody ever told the dog, stop it? Anybody ever told your man, stop? No, okay. Verse 29. Then he said, come. So Peter got out of the boat and he walked on water. Now that's boss, man. Jesus says, come. He got out and he walked. He's walking in faith, though. But check out verse 30. Here's where we get messed up. But he perceived, and he felt feelings. I still feel the tumor. I still feel that the bankruptcy is right there. I still feel that the lawsuit's not settled. I feel. And your feelings and perception will mess you up. And he perceived that there was a strong wind. And he said, he's walking on water. I'm walking on water. And then he felt wind and he said, oh my gosh, you can't walk on water when it's windy. You can't walk on water when it's calm, homie. But your five physical senses, what you see, what you hear, what you taste, and what you touch, these things will mess you up. So you got to say, hey, I'm not going to be afraid anymore. And even though I'm waiting for the loan, even though I'm waiting for this restitution, even though I'm waiting for the kids to see if I get the kids on these weekends and there's some kind of settlement, you'll begin to sink if you look at the problem instead of focusing on the promise. So you got to come to church. You got to get in a group. You got to start serving other people. And then when that happens, who am I helping? I know it might be only two or three people. But perception becomes your reality. Perception becomes your reality. So you perceive. In fact, have you ever perceived somebody wrong and then you got to know them and it wasn't your perception at all of them? Have you ever got off to the bad foot with somebody and they actually perceived you wrong and you're like, man, that story I told and the way I painted myself, that made me look a certain way and I'm really not that way. Raise your hand if you're like, I'm really not that way. My perception, so you perceive wrong. Verse 31. It says, instantly Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. I love that. Jesus didn't go like, hey, you're sinking, you're drowning. Too bad, you're a moron. No, Jesus immediately reached out his hand. And that's what he does for you. Jesus loves you big. He's crazy about you. Out of all the people in the world, I want to pause here just for 1 second. Out of all the people in the world, if you were the only person in the world, he would have died for you. You're like, me? You. That's why you need to walk in P.F. Chang's today with a pimp walk. You can tell what I'm hungry already. Come on, somebody. You need to walk in knowing I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus. I'm chosen. I'm beloved. He likes me in spite of what I've done. He doesn't look at what I've done. He looks at, oh, somebody say hallelujah. He looks at what Jesus did 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary. Immediately, instantly, he reached out his hand. He caught him. He held him up, saying to him, oh, ye of little faith, why'd you doubt? Not, oh, ye of little faith, why'd you doubt? It was like, hey, why'd you doubt, buddy? That really will screw you up every time. If you do that, if you pull that lever, you're going to get in the dunking machine. Why'd you doubt? And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. Notice also that every trial comes with an expiration date. The wind will cease someday. So many times, till you learn to control this, I want to talk to you over here. Come here, come here. 1 second. Until you learn to control this, you won't sleep good. And you'll freak out. Last night, Nicole thought in the middle of the night, not in the middle of the night, but the middle of the night for me because I'm old. It was around 11:30. And around 11:30, she thinks somebody broke into our bank account and jacked with our stuff just because her computer wasn't working and the bank locked her out of her accounts. So she starts freaking out, and I'm not worried at all. I don't even know, even if they stole it, I've already taken 2 melatonins. I am going bye-bye. If we wake up broke, it ain't going to help me to be tired when I wake up broke. Let's just go to bed believing that everything's going to be okay. So then this morning when I asked her, how'd you sleep? She said, I didn't sleep that good. I slept good considering what I was going through. And I was just sitting there listening to you snore because I wasn't worried because I got a feeling on Monday that the money's going to be there. And if it's not, I'll report to you on next Sunday that I screwed up. But in the meantime, I slept like you ain't never slept in your life because I knew I had a sermon to preach today. And if they take our money, God done gave us that money, he'll give us back. Somebody ought to shout amen. So whatever you're going through, it's brief, it's fleeting, it's momentary. The divorce is going to pass. You're going to get married to a new man. You're going to have a new woman. Bam! Who's your daddy? Somebody ought to shout amen. Come on, sunset. Somebody ought to give God praise. It ain't going to last. Keep your eyes on the word. Keep your eyes on the word. Keep it off the wind. Keep your eyes on the word. Put it up back there. I've got a slide up. I know there's a slide. There's a slide. I wrote it. I printed it. I put it up there. It says, he got his eyes off the word. I'm going to wait. I'm just going. There it is right there. What you got your eyes on? Look at your neighbor and say, what you looking at, Willis? If you're old, you know what that means. If you don't, too bad. You lack life experience. Next statement. Perceived problems will take your eyes and ears off the word and try to get them on the wind. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to die of this. You got a brain tumor. You know what's worse than having cancer on the brain? Having cancer on the mind. You got to grab it and say, no, this isn't going to kill me. It's going to make me stronger. So when I speak to the mountain is a brain tumor. The mountain is debt. The mountain is depression. I don't know what the mountain is, but everybody's got a mountain. By the way, all mountains move with your words. You know why mountains move because of words? Because mountains were made of words. Because God spoke mountains into existence. So when your, come on somebody, when God's word, I'm preaching faith today, when God's word is hid in your heart and you release God's word out of your mouth, you're a bad mamma jamma. You got to say, fly like a butterfly, sing like a bee. Can't nobody fight like me. Greater greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who infuses me with supernatural power. I'm anointed. I'm blessed. I'm favored. Somebody ought to give him praise today. I can't believe ain't nobody running. Seems like somebody get up and run. I got to run around this church today. Uh-huh. Woo! Yeah. Oh, somebody's getting this right now. We got to give somebody just a minute. We got to give somebody, I got a praise break. I got something on the inside working on the outside. I can wait. I'm not going to grow weary in well to it. I'm going to reap. Hey! This might be part of the reason we talked earlier. We don't have as many white people in our church. Mm-hmm. Look at your neighbor and say, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. You know you have a church when people make faces like something smells bad. I got 3 minutes and 55 seconds. She said, I got more than that. I don't know who she is, but she sounds like she knows what she's talking about. Come on, St. Louis. Mark 11:24. Therefore, if you find a therefore in the Bible, you need to find out what it's there for. I say unto you, look at your neighbor and say, he's talking to you. What things soever you desire, you got things you desire, when you pray, not when you receive it, when you pray, not when you feel it, when you pray, not when you see it, when you pray, believe you receive it, and then you shall have it. Now, if you're sitting in Sunset Hills today, you're sitting in a 37-acre campus, which they say today will cost about $80 million to rebuild that whole thing. And you're sitting there, and I saw it, and I said it, then I seized it. If you're sitting in our city, you're driving past what is, they say, about a $45 million campus right now. I'm talking about a guy that grew up in a trailer, eating air bologna, but I believed, I know I can't do this, but the greater one can do this. And so I just started telling my story. And as I told my story, and it increased people's faith, it increased my own faith. And then lo and behold, I'd be running around these churches going, who built this? I know I didn't build it, but I know God built it. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. So I don't even have to pay the bills. God somehow, some way, brings the money in. And sometimes it's dirty money. People say, can't believe you took money from that man that owns the casino. We prayed over that money, and we cleaned that money up. And that money's clean and redeemed right now. Come on, somebody. We done took that money. God knows you and your clean money ain't never gave God nobody. Y'all said it. So when you pray, you got to believe that you receive it. Now, if you believe you receive, here's the key. Listen to me right now. How do you know you believe what you receive? When you enter into rest. I told God last night, God, I thank you if there's anything going on in our money, anything weird. Weird stuff happens. But God, by faith right now, bind it up. And I'm going to go to bed tonight because you said you never sleep, never slumber. So there's no sense in both of us staying up. Nicole be getting all this Botox. I don't do a lot of that stuff. So I need my beauty sleep. Come on, somebody. So I need to go to sleep right now. So I'm going to go to sleep. And somebody's stealing my money. Devil better have my money. Better have my money. White people definitely don't know the code for what I'm singing right now. Have my money. I'm seeing a couple of people go. And then I entered into rest. So the problem is, though, sometimes if you got the nodule or the lump, you'll check. It's still there. Still there. And it'll yell at you, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. I killed your dad. I killed your mom. And I'm going to kill you. And you need to say, I'm already dead. I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. And the life that I live now is lived by the breath of the Son of God. Give me a minute. I need a little break for a drink. You ever notice when people like public speak, they go, anybody ever notice that? How quick it's like, oh God, I'm sinning. Give me a minute. Ain't no preacher ever took this long. Yeah, I gave you some too. Come on, somebody. Now y'all got a drink. Yeah. People watching on stream, they're like, I'm glad I'm at a stream campus. I didn't wear my jumpsuit. I'm in the splash zone. I'm sorry, guys. I didn't mean it. Now, I want to put the statement up. I want you to take a picture of this. Get out your phone. When you wait in faith, you won't be waiting long. When you wait in faith, you won't be waiting long. We'll say it again. What's that mean? That means when you decide to wait in faith, time flies. Anybody ever been on vacation? You're like, 3 days passed? 7 days have passed? Raise your hand. You ever been at work and you're like, 8 hours? And I'm only 1 hour into this? Come on, raise your hand. Because time flies when you haven't. And I say time just crawls when you're going through hell. So when you wait in faith, it won't be long. See, you say, oh, Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Some of y'all ought to Instagram that statement. It'll help your friends. God, I'm waiting in faith. What's faith do? Faith perceives that it is done now. So the question would be, while you're waiting, if I were to give you, you know, whatever it is you're believing God for today, all of a sudden, you get excited. In fact, there was a woman here at this campus a few weeks ago that the Lord spoke to me to give her, I don't even know, was it, how much money was it? That was you? $2,000. That woman there, she stand up, that was me! She's smart, she came back. Hey, you gave me $2,000 2 weeks ago. I'm back! So we brought her up on stage. We gave her $2,000. I did give her the $2,000, but she didn't know that I'd give it. But she believed, she perceived, she thought that joker said it. In fact, she said in front of he said in front of a bunch of people, I'll blog about it if it don't give me the money that he said he's gonna give me. So she just believed me, and she doesn't know me. I don't know her name. I never saw her before. I've seen her here, I think, every service since. She ain't stupid. Come on. But she believed it. She started crying. Why? She believed it. See, that's what I'm asking you to do today. I'm saying faith people say, even when I'm going through hell, I believe it. And it might not look like it's working. Remember that song we sing? Even when I don't feel that you're working, even when I can't see that you're working, you never stop working. Come on, you never stop working. Even when I can't see that you're working, even when I can't feel that you're working, you never stop. Shout. You never stop working. You never stop. You never stop working. That's working, not twerking for new people today. Never stop working. Two stories before we leave. Okay, first of all, raise your hand if this has helped you. Come on, all campuses, raise your hand. Look at your neighbor and tell them, say, raise your hand. Raise it two times. Come on, somebody. I knew you looked sad when you came in, and you look glad now. So years ago, there's some of you have heard the story, so I'll make it quick. But you got to remember, there's always new people. And we bought this piece of property for $164,000, and then we fixed it up. And subsequently, some land came for sale next door, and I think it was 5 acres. And the guy called and said, hey, I would like to sell this to you. His name was Paul Cantor from Franklin County out off of Highway 44. He said, I want to sell it for $35,000. And I said, I don't want to pay $35,000. I'll give you $15,000. And he said, you will never buy this property for $15,000. And he hung up the phone on me. I was fine with that. A couple months later,
Washington County, Washington, Missouri, there's a place called Franklin County Title. Franklin County Title said, we sold this piece of land over here in this house. We didn't know that there was an easement that ran through it for this property that Paul Cantor owns. And so we screwed up. So we had to buy the property off this guy for $35,000 just to clear our name. So now we've got this property that's landlocked and can't nobody buy it but you. And I said, interesting. I already felt in my shandai that I was going to pay $15,000 for it, so I went ahead and said $14,000 to give God some room to negotiate. So I said $14,000. They said, there's no way. We just paid $35,000. I said, a whole lot of not my problem. It's not my problem. If you ever want to sell it, call me. So maybe a week passes by, and they called me up, and they said, okay, we'll take you $14,000. And I'm like, oh, they didn't negotiate. That's good, because they had no other buyers. Then this isn't Christian, but I called the guy who called me and hung up. And I said, by the way, I bought it not for $15,000. I bought it for $15,000, and then I hung up on him. Come on, somebody. The point is when you feel it in here and you claim it, and even though it looks like it's been sold, it was actually put on hold, so the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the righteous. So yes, in fact, he got $35,000. The title company can afford to lose the money. They lost almost $15,000. Come on, somebody. And homeboy walked away with $14,000. Then I walked on the land, and because I'd walked on it previously, because the Bible said, wherever my feet shall trod, God has given it to me. By the way, some of y'all ought to walk. You ought to walk through a good neighborhood on the way home and be like, gonna have it. Gonna have it. Come on, somebody. Gonna have that right. Don't walk through a double wide track. Don't walk through the ghetto. Come on, somebody. Walk through a good neighborhood. I got a million stories just like those. So as I quit, because I'm 6 minutes and 22 seconds over. If you're taking medicine. Here's the key. If you wait in faith, you won't be waiting long. You wait in joy. Yeah, I got it. I know God's working behind the scenes. It looked like it was embarrassing. I told my wife, I know the Lord told me we could buy that property for $15,000. And then he sold it for $35,000. She looked at me like, I don't know if I trust you. And then when God gave it to us for $14,000, I'm like, who's your daddy? Who's your man? Who's the man? The Holy Ghost will make you look smart. But those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their financial strength. So when you get in a hurry and you try to make it happen, he's the only man that's asked me out in 6 months. But if he's not the right man, he's the only girl that loves the Lord and goes to church, but she ugly. You know she ugly, and you know you ain't going to stay with her. I shouldn't have said that. That was wrong. And that couldn't have hurt your feelings unless you were ugly. Come on, somebody. Don't be sending me no DM unless you ugly. You pretty. That went right over your head. You're like, yeah. He ain't talking to me right now. Stand up with me. I'm getting in all kinds of trouble. When I go this far over, it could be over for all of us if I keep talking. Okay, so here's a couple questions I have. Number one, how many of y'all feel like on the inside of you right now that there is a spirit of faith in you that you're okay to wait a minute? I asked for that keyboard up, please. Very important. Creates that mood. Thank you. How many of y'all would say also, Pastor David, this word, I'm so glad you put the other sermon on ice. I'm sure it was good, but I needed this today. Come on, every campus, wave it at me. I can see you. Come on, Weldon. Come on, RPC. Everywhere. Okay. The Holy Spirit knew that you were going through this. And that's why it's important even to follow me on Instagram, because I get different words during the week, and the Lord spoke to me yesterday, this word, and I gave it. And I didn't think I was going to preach it until God changed it all around. But I want to pray a prayer for you right now that gives you the strength that you need on Instagram, on Facebook, to go through this trouble and go through this trial, but go through it with patience. Stretch your hands toward me. Father, I pray right now for every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl in the sound of my voice at every campus, in the metaverse, at all forms of social media, on YouTube. God, that you're working behind the scenes, and even when it doesn't look like it's going to work out for them, they know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're working it out. God, that you have good plans for them, plans to prosper them, plans to bring them to expect it in. And God, like Peter, they're going to step out on the water in faith, even though the winds are boisterous and the waves are screaming, and it doesn't look like the lawsuit's going to drop, and it doesn't look like the kid's going to come back, and it doesn't look like the marriage is going to work out. We're not moved by what we see. We're moved by the Word of God. And we walk by faith and not by sight. And I decree and declare right now, with the Holy Spirit backing me, that no weapon formed against you will prosper. Shout amen to that right now. Say amen to that. Father, I decree and declare that behind the scenes, God, you're working and you're causing the enemies to become their footstool. And God, I decree and declare from this moment forward, they're blessed, they're strong, they're courageous, they're anointed, they're powerful, they're strengthened, they're happy, they're joyful, and they're anointed. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen. Let's sing this. Come on. One more time.